This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
In Islam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ahabbul a'mal ila Allah adwamha wa in qallat." The most beloved deeds to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the continuous one, even if they are little. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that which is deema. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for this reason, he advised the ummah to take what they can afford doing for the rest of their life. When they told him about the attitude and the behavior of Abdullah ibn Amr, when he was told that Abdullah prayed every night, you know, the whole night, and also he fasted every day. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him not to do that, looking at the future, because human being decrease in terms of strength and ability. A time might come which this strength, you know, that you are enjoying now because you're youth, you're young, will not exist anymore. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted him to think about this, but unfortunately at that time he couldn't see that which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw. So he advised him to reduce. He argued, you know, trying to seek any permission from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to continue in the way he is. He told him, pray like Dawood, and that's the best form of Qiyam al-Layl. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Dawood alayhi salam, what he does, he used to sleep the first kan inam nisf al-layl, half of the night. You know, he divides the night into three parts. Half of it he will sleep. Very early, right after Salat al-Isha, he will go to sleep. And then he will wake up in the middle of the night and pray the two-thirds of the night. And the last part of the night, which is the sixth, Dawood alayhi salam used to sleep. So he sleeps first, and then he wake up and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sleep so that he can wake up fresh for the Salatul al-Fajr. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, this is the best way to pray. You know, you're giving everyone his right. Your body, you took what it needs, you know. So Abdullah ibn Amr took this, but when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised him also concerning the fast, you know, to do the same thing, you know, to reduce it to the lowest level he could, he argued and he refused to take that. You know, he told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I can do more than that, Ya Rasulullah. Until the time they reach the fasting of Dawood alayhi salam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you don't want to fast like this, then you should fast like Dawood alayhi salam. And how was he fasting? He fasted a day, and a day he'll be off. That means half of your life you'll be fasting. That's great. That's excellent. But then Abdullah ibn Amr, looking at his nature now, you know, condition, and he's young, very young. So he told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I can observe more than that. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, we don't have in Islam something more than that. You just have to stick to that. So he continued with this until the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After his demise, when Abdullah ibn Amr reached the old age, now he realized that he cannot afford maintaining that attitude and that good behavior which he used to have during the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he wants to do that, especially knowing that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the best amongst you is the one who keeps his behavior and attitude without any change after I leave this life. So now, how to do with this weariness and the fatigue that was brought to him by the old age, which is part of his nature. You know, so he used to say to his student, "Fashaddatu, fashaddida alayya." I made life difficult upon myself when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was advising me to take the easiest one. I was fighting for the hardest one, because at that time I have ability to do it. Now he understands why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wants him to take the lesser amount. You know, He said, فَشَدَّتُ فَشَدَّدَ عَلَيَّ. So I make things tough and difficult upon myself, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let them go like that. So the Prophet was hoping that he will take that advice so that he can have something which he can maintain, and he will be put amongst those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves their deed. Because Allah loves that which you make consistent. You know, when they told him about that sister, which you already know, that she prayed every night, you know, and the whole night. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he heard that, he said, "Ma alaykum bima tutaykun, inna Allah la yamallu hatta tamallu." You know, they were praising her for not resting at night. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed them that this is not correct. The best is to take what you can afford doing forever, as long as you live. He said, "Alaykum bima tutaykun." Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not stop writing the reward for you until the time you stop doing what you're doing. Because at the end of the day, your body might not be able to continue, and you have to stop. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want you to stop that righteousness which you start doing. So this is the topic that Imam An-Nawawi wanted to enlighten us about. And he started with the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Inna Allah la yughayyiru ma biqawmin hatta yughayyiru ma bi anfusihim." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never change that which the people are enjoying, you know, hatta yughayyiru ma bi anfusihim, until the time they change. You know, whether you take it as the musibah that happened to the people, Allah will never remove it until the time we remove the cause of that musibah. And that's very normal. Very, very normal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is how He deals with His creation. He grants you ni'mah, you keep it properly, you preserve it, you do that which you are supposed to be doing, Allah will keep it for you. He says, "La in shakartum la azidannakum, wa la in kafartum inna adhabi la shadid." If you're thankful, and how to be thankful when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you? To do what He wants you to do. Yeah, it's not about saying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Thank you, Allah. Salam. Salamu alaykum." Shabab behind, please. Your voice is reaching us, please. What was I saying? We have to bring them to remind us, you know. So, how to be thankful? I was talking about being thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when He blessed you with something. Yeah, it's not about saying thank you, Allah. No, it's about practicing that thank you. How to do it, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "I'malu ala Dawuda shukran." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks you to practice shukr. It doesn't make sense. You say Alhamdulillah. You say thank you, Allah. But then at the same time, you are doing those things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates. And a person has to be very careful, because if this is your behavior, Allah has given you, but you are still not willing to change to that good manners, wallahi, a person has to be very careful, because this might be istidraj. Yeah. As the Nusus confirmed to us, that whenever you see a person being blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with so many blessings, وَهُوَ مُقِيمٌ عَلَى مَعَصِيهِ, but at the same time, unfortunately, this person is still, you know, insistent to remain upon that evil behavior, فَعَلَمْ أَنَّ ذَلِكَ إِسْتِدْرَاجِ. You should know that that is istidraj from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is this istidraj? Istidraj means this person is being given respite by Allah until the time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to get him. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inna Allah yumhil wa la yuhmil." Yeah. "Inna Allah yumhil wa la yuhmil." He gives time, He gives the respite, because everything has been decreed and planned by Him. La mukrihahu. Yeah, they usually pressure their prophets and their messengers to bring the punishment right now. Why do you delay it? But Allah has His own plan. Nobody can tell Him when to do whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed, to do. Nobody can tell Him when to do. So that time has to come first. This is the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلَكِنْ كَذَّبُوا فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Allah, when He talk about those prophets and the messengers that we have heard in Surah Al-A'raf, before beginning with the story of Musa alayhi salam, Allah made this excellent conclusion, very excellent conclusion, which is for us. He says, you have seen what happened to those people. None of them escaped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah says, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَبِلْ مِرْصَادِ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَبِلْ مِرْصَادِ. None of them escaped Him. He destroyed them all. They became part of the history. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked to us. He says, وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ, those people who were destroyed, had they believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَاتَّقَوْا, and they practiced that faith and belief, you know, they maintain their istiqamah in righteousness, Allah says, لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ, we will definitely open for them our blessings from the heavens and from the earth. You Allah, this is the real risk, the one that comes with barakah. Because Allah might give you a lot, but He removes the barakah from it, you will never benefit and you will never enjoy it. What is risk? What is richness if a person is not content? What is richness if a person is not happy? Many of them are depressed. They have a lot, but they're depressed. Musiba on top of musiba. You go out of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put them in another one. That's happened when the barakah is being removed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلَكِنْ كَذَّبُوا فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. So the best way to observe the shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to practice the religion of Allah and to maintain your istiqamah, not to change. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here in this place, He says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَجِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَجِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ. Allah will never change that which people are suffering from until the time they change. So people are in a calamity, they want a change to take place, only righteousness can help them to be out of it. As I always mention in this member, the story of Umar bin Abdulaziz, this is really, really, really an example given to us by Allah, you know, to tell every one of us that change is always possible as long as we are willing to change. Yeah, the corruption reached its peak in those days. Nobody will be expecting good to come very soon. But subhanAllah, this man was appointed within the period of 2 years. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed the whole Islamic community. They went back to the life like the time of the Khulafa al-Rashideen. Yeah, because they have somebody who is the true Qaid. And the community are willing to support him in that regard. Because no matter how much good you are, if there is no support by the community, a ruler will never succeed. That's the reason why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always advised the ummah to do what? To obey, listen. Because if you don't listen to the leaders, how can they succeed? We have to cooperate and help and support. Then they can succeed in their mission. They cannot do it alone. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always asks you to be patient and to support. Do your job and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fix the situation. So people change, and that bad situation, bad life they used to have, nobody's interested in Islam, you know. People stop coming to Islam, you know. And almost nobody is enjoying except those people who are on top and anyone who is related to them. But when they're willing to change, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed the situation for them. Rizq and richness and wealth was abundant. In certain situation, there was a time when some of the rich people, they were looking for somebody to give him the zakah. Nobody is willing to take. Yeah, they saw this moment where some of them are looking for people to give them the zakah. Nobody is willing to take. Ya Allah, that man was not using magic. That man was just using what had been used and practiced by his predecessors. That's what history told us. He told the scholars at that time to help him, to compile for him the sunnah of the Khulafa al-Rashidin, and he wants to follow the same thing. And he followed the same thing. So within the period of 2 years, life changes. Because people are the same people. The same mentality. Read the history. You see the same thing is being repeated. You know, just different personalities, but the same attitude, the same behavior. What works with them, it is going to work with us 100%. Imam Malik said long ago, he says, we should know that nothing can fix the later or the current generation of this ummah except that which fixed the previous one. Yeah, the story of Umar bin Abdulaziz is the best example for this statement of Imam Malik. He says, what fixed the first generation is the only thing that can fix the second generation. We just have to apply it properly according to the time we are living in. He succeeded, and I believe 100%, if we are to apply the same sunnah, you know, in the way it fits our community, even Allah Ta'ala will succeed. And also we will see the enjoyment, we will enjoy it the way they were enjoying. And all the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bi izni al-wahid al-ahad, we're going to attain that. And we have the full protection and the khilafah that we are looking for. We're talking about every time khilafah comes through this. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ وَلَيُمَكِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ دِينَهُمْ الَّذِي ارْتَضَىٰ لَهُمْ وَلَيُبَدِّلَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ خَوْفِهِمْ أَمْنًا. Subhanallah. This is the promise by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that those people who believe and they practice their belief, righteousness, because belief without righteousness is useless. Righteousness without belief is useless. You have to combine both. Al-Iman wal-Amal al-Salih. Allah says, if you do that and you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone without associating partner with Allah, He says, لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ. He promised to give us back the khilafah. Yeah, everyone is yelling, but if you go to his shop, you go to his family, you go to his personal life, subhanAllah, is a mini shaitan. In the masjid, you see a behavior. When you go out, you see a shayateen sometimes, subhanAllah. If we're going to maintain the same attitude, the same behavior we have in the masajid, righteous people, very close to Allah, khushu, and all of these things, you go out, you become somebody who is nafi' lin-nas. The best and the true example of a believer, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that wherever he goes is like ghayth. Aynama halla nafa'. Wherever he goes, he benefits. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam make you like the palm tree. Ibn Hajar says it has been studied. Research have shown that almost everything in this tree is beneficial to humankind. You can see the uniqueness of this example. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you are like this tree, which means wherever you exist, you're going to benefit the community. So we have this, al-amal al-salih, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he will grant us the khilafah, وَلَيُمَكِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ دِينَهُمُ الَّذِي اتَّضَىٰ لَهُمْ. And Islam, our religion, is going to supersede every other religion. And the fear we have, Allah promised to change it to peace and tranquility. Everyone knows that the Ummah is not in a good shape now. In almost everything. When it comes to tarbiyah, when it comes to education, when it comes to finance, when it comes to economics, when it comes to everything, hadith wala haraj. Yeah, we need strong tawbah, collective tawbah, and we come back to the history and study the life of the predecessors and apply the same thing they did, which led them to success if we truly want to succeed. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. And then in the second ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّتِي نَقَضَتْ غَزْلَهَا مِنْ بَعْدِ قُوَّةٍ أَنْكَاثٍ. Allah is talking about the woman who is doing the, what do you call the thing that they do with the thread? She spun the thread, the weaving, right? After she had finished everything, and then she untied everything. She suffers doing for days, and then right after she finished, she destroyed everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't do that. It's referring to the attitude and the behavior of those people who decided to take a break in righteousness. Do we have people who used to be very strong in righteousness and then they change? A lot. We have people who used to be very strong and studying, you know, they are, mashallah, on top amongst the student of knowledge, and now they change a lot. This is what the ayah is referring to. When you have that good and excellent behavior and attitude, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, keep it up. Don't change. Yeah. Taking break when it comes to righteousness is very dangerous. Allah, it's very dangerous. You want to see how dangerous it is? Look at that person who Abu Musa al-Ash'ari talked about, the person who worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for how many years? 70 years. He took the break for how many weeks? Only 1 week. 7 days, 70 years against. He died, you know, what was the break? You know, he was very righteous, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone for 70 years. Doesn't mix with people. So you don't expect him to commit sin because he doesn't even mix with people. Every time he's in an act of worship. When he decided to open his eyes and look at everything that is around him without segregation and paying attention to that which is permissible. So he saw a prostitute woman and he was distracted by her. He stayed with her for a week. He died after making the tawbah. He repented, you know, on the day number 7. He died after the tawbah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked them to weigh his deed. 70 years against the 7 night. And subhanAllah, those 7 nights, they have the power to supersede the 70 years. And the man was confirmed to go to hell. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him because of the charity he gave the night before he died. A piece of bread he gave. Iwallah. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was right, and he is always right. And he says, do not belittle righteousness. Any righteousness. Because you don't know which righteousness among all of your deeds Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take and take you to Jannah because of it. And don't belittle evil attitude and evil behavior, because you don't know which one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take a person and hold him responsible of it, and because of it he goes to hell. A person picked up something from the ground, you know, just pick it and put it aside because it is harmful to others, and Allah took him to Jannah because of this. A woman went to hell because of the cat. So do not take break in righteousness. At first, take what you can do. Imitate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Take the easiest way, the easiest path, as long as it is righteous. It is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, and maintain it until you reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The last ayah quoted by An-Nawawi, قال وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلُ فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدُ فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَكَثِيرٌ مِّنْهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ. And in another place in the same surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَا رَأُوهَا حَقَّ لِآيَتِهَا. Those, you know, people of the book, the Jews and the Christians, they invented something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not ask them to do. This is the rahbana, rahbaniyun. What does it mean? It means you leave your family and friends and everyone and leave the community and go and stay in the forest. Go and stay in the forest, build a masjid for yourself, and then stay there, worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone without mixing with anyone. It was invented, you know, by them. Yeah, it's a kind of righteousness they wanted to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which doesn't exist in our religion. In our Sharia, we don't have this. SubhanAllah. In our Sharia, we don't have this. Allah wants you to be productive. Don't stay in the masjid. You know, you have 24 hours. How many times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invite you to the masjid? 5 times. Each one doesn't go beyond 10 to 15 minutes. The whole prayer is about 10 minutes. Put them together, let's say 1 hour. You see, out of 24 hours, 1 hour Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to focus. And this 1 hour is too, I'm just exaggerating. Which masjid is praying for 1 hour? 1 hour meaning divided, you know, by the amount of those prayers. Which masjid is praying 10 minutes, 15 minutes, you know, 20 minutes? I'm not saying that imam should go more, but I'm just saying this is the reality. Averagely, you have 8 to 10 minutes for every prayer. So we're talking about 50 to 60 minutes in a day. This is how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invites you to the masjid. To renew that covenant, you know, the agreement, the promise between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to keep you in touch. Yeah, to keep you connected. So that you will always reflect and have the muraqabah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every single time. Subhanallah. The way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put these prayers is unique. You know, until the time you go you plan to go to the bed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to make the last thing is something between you and Him, so that you always remember that this place is not the place where you stay forever. The rest of the time, what do? You're going to do business. You're going to do dawah. You're going to support your family, talk to friends, do something which is beneficial to you and the community. That's the best way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to live in. But they had different approach in the past. They go to the masjid, they isolated themselves from everyone. Allah says, فَمَا رَأَوْهَا حَقَّ رِآيَتِهَا. Even that one also they brought for themselves. They couldn't maintain it properly. They have so many disappointments, you know, in those people who are doing. There is a story of some of them also fell into zina because they don't marry, you know. They don't marry. They want to stay away from marriage because they believe, you know, marriage is a heavy responsibility. The wife is going to take the vast majority of their time and they will not be able to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And subhanAllah, even in our ummah, the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have some people like this. They don't marry. I was reading a book, they were praising somebody, I don't know. What did he do good for him to be praised? They're praising him for spending 18 years without approaching his family. 18 years without having a relationship with his family. And they were praising him, full on. I don't know what those people are thinking about Rasulullah. How many wives he has? 11. He left 9. And sometimes they mention that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in one day he goes around all of them with one ghusl, having a relationship with each and every one of them. And then somebody would come and tell us that there is somebody who is good and excellent because he spent 18 years without approaching the family. Which religion, which approach is better? The approach of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or the approach of those ones? We really need to be very careful. Those people who did not marry amongst the scholars, we are looking for excuse for them. The best people. They are the messengers and the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Surah Ibrahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجْعَلْنَا لَهُمْ أَزْوَاجًا وَذْرِيَّةً. Subhanallah. If this is not the best way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised them and told us that these ones, He make them people who marry and they have children. And then somebody will come and say, it is good actually to stay without marriage because it will take your time with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Marriage, if somebody has good intention in it, is it an act of worship? Yes. You talk to your wife, you get reward. She talks to you, she gets reward. You have a good relationship. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, hatta ma taj'aluhu fi fim ra'atik. Even that which you put in the mouth of your wife, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will write a charity for you. Not only this, he said, وَفِي بُضْعِ أَحَدِكُمْ صَدَقًا. He said, even in that, you know, water that you cast in the womb of your wife, Allah will write it as a charity for you. Subhanallah. The companions of the Prophet ﷺ were amazed, you know. They couldn't understand this properly. They said, Ya Rasulullah, أَيَأْتِي أَحَدُنَا شَهْوَتَهُ وَيَكُنْ لَهُ أَجْلٌ. He said, Ya Rasulullah, wait a minute. Are you talking about one of us when he has a relationship with his spouse and enjoy and satisfy his desire, Allah will give him reward for this? He said, yes. What's wrong with that? What do you think if he is to go and do it in the haram way? Don't you think he will get sin? They said, yes, Ya Rasulullah, he will get sin. He said, فَكَذَلِكَ إِذَا وَضَعَهَا فِي حَلَةٍ. SubhanAllah. This is what marriage is all about. But then because somebody is having this restricted mind, restricted way of thinking, thinking that ibadah is just confined in the masjid. Yeah, the ibadah is only in the masjid. No, if you have a person in the masjid, you know, take this as a serious matter. If you have a person in the masjid worshiping Allah alone, and there is another one who is going out, supporting his family, benefiting the community, and then he's the one also who is supplying food for this person who is in the masjid, which one is better? The one who is out is better. You have to differentiate between al-ibadat al-qasira al-muta'addiyah. You have two types of ibadah. Al-qasira is a kind of ibadat which is restricted to that person who is doing. The benefit is restricted to him. When you pray, you're benefiting who? Yourself. When you give da'wah, you teach, you're benefiting who? Yourself and the community. When you go and support the community with halal thing, who do you benefit? You benefit yourself and the community. These are the ibadat al-muta'addiyah. They are better than the ibadat al-qasira. The person should be very smart in his decision. Yeah, person should be very smart in the decision. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those people in the past, they have the righteousness and the good attitude, but unfortunately, many of them were not able to maintain that righteousness. They easily changed. That's why Allah sent this heavy message to all of us in this ayah. He says, أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنْ تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكِرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنْ الْحَقِّ. Allah says, isn't it the best time? SubhanAllah. I really love this expression. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, isn't it the best time for the believers to have khushu? Khushu means taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is supported by strong istiqamah on that taqwa and action. Allah says, isn't it time for the believers to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be very serious in their relationship with Allah? Isn't it the best time for all of us to do this? Iwallah, this is the best time. Allah says, وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ, and also to hold upon that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, which is the truth, the Quran. وَلَا يَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِ, and they shouldn't be like those people who are given the book before them. It's referring to who? The Jews and the Christians. فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدُ, they live a very long time. فَقَسَّتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that qasat qulubu, the heart became so hard, it's not easy to be penetrated by any nasiha. Especially when it comes to the Jews. Christians are very lenient in comparison to the Jew. It's not easy to convert a Jew. Allah says, ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ فَهِيَكَ الْهِجَارَةِ أَوَشَدُ قُسْوَةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the heart with this subhanAllah rigidity. And up to date, this is the situation. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَوْ آمَنَ بِعَشْرَةٍ مِنَ الْيَهُودِ, he says, if I can have 10 from amongst the Jews in his time. The scholar said he's referring to the leaders of the Jew. If I can have 10 from among the Jew to accept me, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there will be nobody from amongst the members, the community of the Jew, except that they are going to accept. Because one of the features of the Jew, they're very, very obedient community to their leaders. It will be obedient. History told us that there were some who are given actually permission to go back, not to be killed, but they agreed to be killed because their leaders are not given that concession and the permission to go back. These are the Jews. But unfortunately, only Abdullah ibn Salam was the one that is confirmed that he changed among those leaders of the Jews living in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ, he says we shouldn't be like them, like the Jew. And subhanAllah, every day, at least 17 times you are saying to Allah, Ya Allah, I don't want to be like these guys. I don't want to be like Jews, and I don't want to be like the Christians. Why you don't want to be like both of them? Because the Christian, they have no knowledge and they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with ignorance. And the Jew, they had the knowledge, but they did not use it. Yeah. So that's why you are saying to Allah, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. Every day you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you this righteous path by taking you away from the attitude and the behavior of the Jew and the Christian. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq and help us to maintain our istiqamah until the time we meet him. Innahu bi kulli jameelin kafeer. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
It's all part of the good action, actually. Actions, you divide them into the actions of lisan or qalb, but these are all under the concept of action. Action of the heart, action of the tongue, and the action of the lips.
No specific.
Any type of dhikr. The dhikr is the action of the lisan. So the best type of dhikr is the one that is supported by the action. I always praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but still the bad one. That means I'm not reflecting upon it.
That's why I would want that. Something would happen. I'm still recording.
Alhamdulillah, ilayhi wa sallam. Yeah, that's it.
That's fine.
That's fine. Very fine. Very fine. It's good to reflect and to say Alhamdulillah. Like the way the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is doing. Those ones, the difference between us and them is they always increase, you know, when things, good things happen to them, you can see the reflection, you know, reaction, you know, to that through the actions. Not just Alhamdulillah. That is very fine, it's good, an excellent job for you to say Alhamdulillah. But is that enough? No. If this is a question that we can share with others. Okay, that is there's a question about forms of shukr. Is it only by action? No. In my statement, I did not mean that actions is the only form of the shukr. What I was saying is, it's not all about you saying Alhamdulillah or thank you Allah, but then you don't support this with action. Yeah, you say Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, as the Prophet always do,
you make sujood, shukrulillahi azza wa jal. Yeah, but the best is to combine this with action. Yeah. Let this be manifested in your life. Let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala see the change, that you're really happy with what He is doing to you. So you combine both. You thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with your heart. You praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of that with your heart. And you say it with your tongue. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Alladhi bi ni'matihi musalihat. And then act. Pray to Allah. You know, be consistent. Remember that this is the only one who loves you. And He doesn't want any compensation. That's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Doesn't need anything from you. He says, ma uridu minhum min rizqin wa ma uridu an yut'imun. Is given, not because He needs you. He doesn't need you at all, and He will never need you. That's the one you should be looking for. Yeah, that's the one you should be dependent on. That's the one that you should be trying your best to make sure that all of your actions and your deeds are in accordance to that which He loves. Then you can maintain the ni'mah. As He says, in shakartum, la azidannakum. Yeah, what is a shukr? It's not about just saying shukrulillah or alhamdulillah. No. It's all about doing that, plus the most important thing, which is to act upon that which He wants you to do. To act upon the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make all of your movements, your activities, according to the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That will bring you more blessings, bi-idhnillahi azza wa jal. That's the meaning of the ziyadah. The more shukr you have, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase His rizq upon you. May Allah grant us tawfiq. And they brought him to Umar, and Umar radiallahu anhu was going to cut off his hand. So the mother went to Umar and she cried. She told him, this is the first time he did. So Umar radiallahu anhu told her, no, Allah will never expose him if this is the first time he did. They asked him, I guess either number 4 or number 24, something like that. How many times he was stealing? And make tawbah, because sometimes when you go deeper and deeper and deeper, it's not easy for a person to quit. Yeah, as in the case of the one who did it the first time. Yeah. Allah grant us good and tawfiq.
Worship for 70 years, so shouldn't his worship and all the good deeds kind of prevented him from falling into that bad? It protects you from doing further bad, right?
That was a test. Because any human being, as the Prophet said, has this tendency and capable of committing sin. It happens. No matter how much righteous is a person, time might come when he will be falling into this. Yeah. That's why Tawbah is for everyone. Because the most righteous people also sometimes do something that is wrong, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like. Yeah. And that's why being careful is for everyone. Everyone has to be careful. Not just the wrongdoers, not just the normal people, even the righteous people also, they have to be very careful. And not to depend on themselves. If Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect him and to protect his iman and to help him to maintain his istiqamah, what do you think about any other person, no matter how much righteous he is? Allah grant us tawfiq and be with us wherever we are. Innahu bi kulli jameelin kafeel. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.